Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. My name is Keith Willard. I'm your host and creator of the show, as well as an event planner here in South Florida. It is great to have everybody back. Today, we're going to be revisiting micro weddings. It is all the rage right now because of obviously everything that the world is going through. And with the recent uptick in everything that's happening in the world, micro weddings are starting to come back to the forefront. So what better way to discuss them than to speak to the queen of micro weddings? But before I introduce her, let me introduce Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy. Of course, Always listening. Anyway, it's great to see you. Welcome back.
Good to see you.
And then next, let's welcome Emily Sullivan. Emily is a New Orleans-based event company that has specifically chosen to focus on micro weddings. She is the owner of Emily Sullivan Events, a boutique wedding and event planning firm based in New Orleans that specializes in celebrations throughout the Southeast. With a passion for entertaining, she has uses her intuition and attention to detail to customize each and every wedding experience for her client. She's also an on-air personality locally for the New Orleans. And I know specifically she is a much sought-after national speaker about this and many other subjects. So, Emily, I am so excited to have you on. Welcome to Behind the Veil.
Thank you, Keith. That is the first time anybody's ever called me the queen of micro weddings. So,
oh, is it really?
I loved it.
I think that's your new title. That's your new title, Queen of Micro Weddings. Right. So that's going to now be in quotes under your picture.
Right.
So let's get this conversation started off pretty basically. Why did you even get into the wedding industry, and why did you open up your wedding business?
Well, I sort of naturally fell into the wedding business, honestly. I worked for a cosmetics company in New Orleans, and I started out doing hair and makeup for weddings. And then I just thought, gosh, this is something that's a really good fit for me. And so I just jumped right in. And I think it's just because hospitality is kind of my spiritual gift. I'm a Southern girl that way. And so I love making people feel comfortable and just planning experiences. And so it just really took off right away. And that was back in 2006, post-Hurricane Katrina. And this year, we are going to celebrate our 15th year in business. So that is exciting because I feel like I've kind of like stood the test of time at this point.
Wow.
And micro weddings. So we actually started our micro weddings division, and we call it Intimate Weddings by Emily, back in 2016. And ultimately, we started it for a few different reasons. First of all, people were asking for it. People over and over again were asking us for smaller weddings. And I would say I was real snobby about it at first. I'm like, no, this is not a good fit. You know, I don't want to do this. They're not going to pay my regular fee. Like, it's not worth it. And all of these different situations. And so I just kind of brushed it off. But then I did a couple of smaller weddings, destination weddings. One of those was in Las Vegas. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of starting to see how this can work. So the major thing for my team that we wanted to figure out is how we can make a profit from it. So, you know, they may not pay our regular fee,
right,
what we expect as an event planner, but how do we make a profit? And that was the thing that we needed to figure out first. So we've been doing them, I guess, next year will be 5 years. So, and really once we kind of worked out the system,
it's just,
we fell in love with doing intimate weddings. We love that. It's really the people that the clients want to be there. And it's just such a super special experience. And so since then we've loved to do them.
Well, as an event planner, small events versus large events, they're the same exact amount of work. So if I'm going to do an event for 200 people, it's going to be the exact same amount of work as it is for 50 people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand that the amount of work that the event planner has to do is still the same. We still have to make those same reservations. We still have to talk to those same vendors. There's still the same amount of time that with those appointments. What made it so special? If everything else is basically labor intensive, is the same.
So what our approach was a little bit different, and we figured out a way to work with people that we already had relationships with. So instead of just customizing each and every experience, which we do to a certain extent, we reached out to our friends and our partners in New Orleans. And I said, I have this idea. And they're kind of used to me having crazy ideas. So they were like, what is it this time? And then I kind of sold them on it. And we started out with a very small group of people doing them together. And so that's what I did. I created custom packages. We started only with about 5 different packages. And then we started to grow them based on that and kind of learn how to upgrade and add on things to make an additional profit. But that's how we transition. We use the same vendors over and over again as part of a vendor team so that it makes it easier and easier each time we do it.
And are you just focusing on New Orleans, or are you doing this, like, is it a destination micro wedding company?
So our clients are predominantly destination New Orleans. So both our full service clients who we plan, you know, big weekends for, as well as our intimate clients, predominantly are coming to New Orleans to get married. Since COVID, I have had a lot of requests to go outside of the city to do some of these events. Right. I'm exploring that right now. I haven't done it yet. We're looking at it. We just got one for Naples, Florida that I think is going to
awesome. You'll love Florida.
And that's the reason I'm doing it. If it's a location I want to go to, then right. I'll say yes. And if it's not, then I'll say no.
We're great outside of hurricane season.
Right. Same. Same problem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe I completely forgot that. Yeah. But I mean, when you're talking about, you said the same vendor. So when you go, obviously, as a destination, typically you're not able to bring on the same vendors. But you mentioned something when you answered the last question about a full weekend of events. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously with my larger weddings, typically I'm involved with rehearsal dinner, the brunch, and the wedding itself. But outside activities, outside of that, not so much. I mean, I'll give some suggestions. Are you saying that you do actually more than that?
Well, for our full service destination clients, absolutely. Our most popular package is full weekend planning. And so that is rehearsal dinner and welcome parties, which we have to do because we're dealing with the majority of the client, the guests being from out of town, right. And brunches. But then another thing we'll do is plan unique experiences in the city just to kind of give people a taste of New Orleans. And what I tell clients up front about that is that every event or every weekend looks different. So it's completely dependent on what is important to our clients and what they want that to look like. And we didn't initially start out doing that for intimate weddings, but we added it on as a way to make extra money. Basically, we're like, okay, we have these basic packages. What do we do to bring it up a notch, and how do we make more money at this? And then that's when we started to add these upgrades and these options to add not only additional events, but additional services as well.
Well, and of course, you know, what comes to mind is elopement. You know, when I think about people running out of town to go get married elsewhere in a far off city, to me, it says elopement. What's the difference here? What's the major?
So we do some elopements. We actually, next weekend, we have an elopement with 10 people. And we kind of...
Okay. You just said elopement with 10 people. Yes. When I think elopement, I don't think 10 people. I think two.
Traditionally, that has been how we've all thought of it. Like, it's a secret and it's 2 people. Elopement now, we kind of consider to just be the ceremony. So it's people who won't, versus an intimate wedding who you may have like the complete experience of a wedding, cake cutting, dinner, and all these things. An elopement client is more focused on the ceremony specifically. So we usually say like around 2 to 10 people. Mm-hmm. We did one 2 weeks ago that they actually included a cake cutting. So it was the ceremony, a champagne toast, and a cake cutting. And it was, then you're done. But an intimate wedding, on the other hand, is usually a little bit more guests, and it takes you through the entire experience like you would if you were at a larger wedding. It's just for fewer people.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for you, when you're talking about it, and first of all, I'm glad that you defined elopement versus intimate, because obviously it's different components. It's more components when you're talking about intimate. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's fascinating that you are in one of those cities that so many people want to visit. And if you're talking about 6 to 10 people, the options that are available to people for dinner, I mean, because you guys are known obviously for your food. I mean, if you're in a group of 75 or 100 people, it reduces the choices that you have. But if you have 10 people, you could go to
anywhere.
Fab, fabulous restaurants.
Well, and really that's the whole concept behind intimate weddings, and kind of our approach has been that, you know, they're not cheaper. Like it's never meant to be something that's cheaper.
Right.
What it's meant to be is that you get to spend more money per person. So right. Yes, your overall budget might be lower, but you're really giving these guests like a complete experience because you're able to focus on more things for one person. So it's definitely more of a custom and unique experience, I think, than like having a 300-person wedding on a budget.
Well, and then what do you do about hotel blocks, room blocks and stuff? Because obviously we work in one of the advantages of having a larger mm-hmm. wedding is that you get special pricing and you get a room block, et cetera. You know, can you still get some of those same deals? About 10?
Yeah, we totally can. And the reason is because we use the same people regularly. Like we are loyal to the people that we work with.
Right.
And these are people that we have relationships with. I think it would be more difficult for a new planner or someone new to come in and say, you know, I want to get all these things. But when you have a 15-year relationship with someone, you're able to ask them for things that possibly wouldn't be available to other people and kind of work those kinks out because they know that you're going to be loyal in your business across the board, if that makes sense.
Well, and I've said that all the time. It's like, you know, you definitely want to have an event planner or an event professional in your life because, you know, a wedding is in itself a one-off for most of these hotels or most mm-hmm. of these locations. But event planners do multiple events with them. And obviously those hotels want to keep those relationships strong. And so do the event planners, to be honest.
Totally. And, you know, I always tell people, like, I can play devil's advocate and have conversations that you can't have with someone. Like, that's what I tell my clients because I've worked with these people forever. And that means I can go and say, tell me the truth. Like, what can you really do? Or how can I make this work? Where they're going to be less likely to have that conversation directly with the client.
Right. Well, and then what about transportation? Same thing there. Do you provide all the transportation from the hotel to the
transportation is an upgrade. It's one of our upgrades. It's not included in our basic package. And what we've done in terms of packages is we've said, what do you need to get married? Like what's the basics that are must haves, whether it's an elopement or an intimate wedding, what does that look like? And
right.
we included those. Everything else is an upgrade. And that's really where the customization gets to come in. Luckily, we're in a city that doesn't require a lot of transportation. So if we're in the quarter, you know, everything is mostly walking distance. Whereas
right.
if we're uptown or Tree of Life or wherever, then that comes in and it's something different. Then we address each of those situations differently.
So would a second line be an upgrade?
Yes.
Okay, just checking it out.
Everybody gets one, honestly. It's like if you're coming here, you're having a parade.
Right?
I always tell people, I mean, so I've done 600 weddings. I've probably second lined 300, 400 times.
Really?
It never gets old. Every time I'm like, I cannot believe I live in a city where I can shut the street down and have a parade for no other reason than a wedding, you know?
Well, does it feel weird to have only 10 or 12 people in a second?
Not at all, because New Orleans being the city that it is, people just join in.
They do, actually. I know when we did our second line in New Orleans from the conference, it was just crazy.
I can't wait until, like, we're restricted right now. We can't have second lines right now. And I can't wait till they come back because it's just going to be crazy town.
I actually was going to ask, what is a second line? Because I've never been to New Orleans.
Oh, my goodness. You should come.
Oh, you should.
So for those of us who haven't been, how would you describe a second line?
So a second line parade is traditionally came from a jazz funeral. So it was the second line of people that joined the parade for a jazz funeral. And it can also be like used for all sorts of different celebrations or honoring one's life or, you know, just lots of different reasons in New Orleans, but we do them for weddings. And it essentially looks like the bride and groom leading with a brass band, a New Orleans style brass band, which is a necessity. You cannot do it without them. And then the second line or guest join in behind them and we have a permit and we parade down the street.
Amazing. So I know I'm probably going to touch into a taboo subject. Price?
For intimate weddings?
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
is there a general kind of price range? Like, you know, if mm-hmm. people give me some basics here, like what hotel they want to go to, I can give them a pretty good idea of where I think their costs are going to lie.
So our elopements start at $3,000. That's our minimum. Yeah, it's not bad at all. And it's a pretty basic package, but that's what it starts at. And honestly, we're seeing a lot of packages right now that are coming up, that are popping up like oh, $550 for your officiant photographer and location. And I'm like, but why? Like, why are you doing that? Anyway, right. Off subject. Not really, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So they start at 3,000. Intimates usually are in the 15,000 minimum range, but one of the ones I talk about regularly when I'm speaking or doing podcasts is really what opened my eyes to what intimate weddings could be. And we had a 6-person wedding with about a $40,000 budget, and it was amazing.
Like, well, I would hope so.
Every experience you would want to have, we had at that wedding,
right.
Just multiple musicians. And we did have a second line and we had carriage rides. And it was just like, oh, okay, there are these people that want this and can pay for it. So again, it's never really meant to be cheap. I would say our average for 30 guests is somewhere in the 20,000 range, but it ultimately depends on the client and what they're looking for. But anywhere from 15 to 50,000, depending.
And that price includes the room, the food, the beverage for the entire weekend,
not for the entire weekend. Again, that's an upgrade. So we usually start basic packages, you know, okay, this is what's included. And then you can add, you know, floral upgrades or cake upgrades or whatever it is it looks like. So the basic one gets you married and the second one makes it custom, makes it more fun.
Makes it more fun. Well, okay. Let's say that, you know, of course, in the world that we are in today, you know, people are pushing off their weddings and we have all had weddings that were March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, now November, and December, that are all like moving to 2021. It's a 2-part question. The first one is, you know, are you seeing obviously an uptick in people saying, look, I am tired of waiting. I want to move forward with at least something to make my day special. The second part of that, do you see that people are getting any pushback because they're moving forward with their wedding?
Well, so we were lucky in the sense that some of the weddings we had on the books were intimate weddings. So we didn't have to reschedule those. We were able to go forward with them. We had a wedding that was in November and then they moved to June. And then the 1st of October, she called me and said, we can't wait. We want to have a surprise wedding. So on October 24th, they had 35 people. That was honestly one of the best weddings I've ever been to. I'm not kidding. I can't stop
talking about it.
It was like champagne bongs and just like every detail you can imagine. And their guests were so shocked and surprised. And so that was super fun. But we're seeing a nice balance. And something I tell people, I mean, both vendors and couples, is that intimate weddings are not for everybody. They've never been for everybody. And so there are going to be those clients who it really matters to them to have a larger guest count and to have this big, you know, soiree. That's what they dreamed of. That's what they've saved for. And they're not willing to negotiate that. And in that sense, we want to encourage them to kind of, you know, wait until they are able to do it safely versus an intimate client who usually cares more about her people. Like,
right.
You know, usually it's really about like her core group of people and the people that she wants to be there. And so we've seen a nice mix of that, honestly.
Well, just because I mean, just recently, like literally right before we went on the show, I was having a conversation with a bride because she was getting pushback from some of her guests. And now we've reduced her guest count dramatically, you know, from 200 people to 125 to 50. And now we're reducing it again to 25 people. And even with 25 people, there are some people that are saying, how dare you move forward with a wedding during COVID? I mean,
it honestly sounds like those are people that shouldn't even be on her guest list to start with.
I agree 100%. That's exactly what I said. Well, if they don't want to be there, then they don't need to be there.
It's just that I'm getting zero pushback from people. Honestly, every guest we've like, okay, we're up to 100 people safely, but we'll probably naturally go down to 80. No, we're not. We're still having 100 people. Like, people want to get out right now. I don't know if that's a New Orleans thing. Like, we can't, you know.
Right.
We're social people, so I don't know if that plays a factor in it, but that would definitely be what I'd say, that like, it's not even about them at all.
And it really isn't. And if anybody feels unsafe, then, you know, I think that everybody should have the right not to.
Absolutely.
You know, right. You don't exactly feel pressure because you say you can't go because you're trying to keep yourself healthy. I mean, we're unusual times. Allow people to be who they are. Mm-hmm.
You've done your part to invite them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's up to them if they want to decline or attend.
What do you think about rapid testing?
I don't know how accurate it is, honestly, because I've known some people who have gone and been rapidly tested and gotten a no, and then a couple of days later gotten a yes. And so I don't know how reliable that is, honestly. And I think it's every test is different. I mean,
right.
We discussed briefly before we got on, but I had COVID early in the beginning. It took 21 days to get my test back. So I was like
21 days and you were almost back to being healthy.
Dead at that point. Like, she's like, yes, ma'am, you have COVID. And I'm like, well, yes, I know.
You're like, of course. Thank you. Hello.
I don't know if I would depend on rapid testing. And honestly, I've even been put in an awkward position with a client where the client's like, you know, we're moving to my house or whatever. And this looks different. And we're not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to make people wear a mask. And I am not like the person in charge of being sure that everybody wears their mask. Like, that's not my job. But even vendors have been put in some uncomfortable situations being around people who aren't, you know, and we have to make that decision as vendors as well about the number of people we're comfortable being with.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're actually starting to play with a little bit is subconscious reminders. So that way, because nobody wants to be the bad guy, and it's an unfortunate circumstance to put the server in the, you know, role of enforcer, because their job is to make people happy and smart. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're starting with little signs all over the place, mm-hmm. a mask being served as a coaster to somebody that may not have their mask on, kind of thing. But you talked about lockdown with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm assuming that the larger events are still not able, or are you able to do larger events?
Yeah. So we just went to what our mayor is calling 3.3 last week, and that is 100 people. Yes, phase 3.3.
We went through
1.2, and then now 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3. And so what that looks like is 150 people outdoors and 100 people indoors. And so if they're at a certain capacity. And so we've gotten to 100 people indoors. We actually, as a local industry, are coming up with ways to address safety as a whole, you know, and what are we doing venue-wise and what are we serving? And each venue is different, honestly, and that right. I think that's a bit of an issue, because every time as the planner, we're having to go back and say, okay, this time we have more people or less people, and what does that look like? And, you know, what are we going to do to maintain safety?
Right. Well, we had James actually on from the Ritz-Carlton, New Orleans. I think you probably know James. He's immediate past president of the NACE New Orleans chapter, and I think our incoming president.
Incoming president.
Of the National Association of Catering Events. He's an amazing guy. And so
he
we
always
actually,
makes me so hungry posting photos of things.
Oh my gosh. He loves to bake. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, and he's such a massive foodie. So New Orleans is actually perfect for him. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, some of the downfalls that are happening with hotels and the things that they're having to go through just to make sure that they're keeping people safe, making sure their guests are safe. Mm-hmm. You know, and honestly, as a planner, I do feel obviously somewhat obligated to make mm-hmm. sure that everybody stays safe. Where do you draw that line? Where is that line?
I think that's different for everyone. For me, it's a matter of I'll always asking my team to be sure that they feel safe, like not putting them in a position where they feel uncomfortable or, you know, like forced into something they're not comfortable with. Right. We are a little bit different because not only have I already had it, but two of my staff members have already had it as well. So we're kind of like, we feel differently because we're on the other side of it, where that's not necessarily the case for everyone.
Right.
But what I do know is I don't want to be on the news for being the wedding planner that starts this super spreader event, and then all my guests go home and spread it all over the country.
So. Oh gosh. And I mean, that's actually a big kind of possibility there, because you're doing these destination kind of elopement slash intimate events. I mean, that there's a real possibility there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a horrendous place to be, considering that, you know, our entire job is to bring joy to the world. I mean, our whole job is to make sure people have the best time ever. And, you know, to have to deal then with COVID is sometimes not the easiest thing.
Yeah, it's been a situation where, as a wedding planner, and I know you probably feel this too, where I've just been managing emotions, you know, since 100%. The season started, I've just been managing emotions. And I was actually telling someone last week, sort of a mentor, how exhausting it has been for me mentally to repeat it, you know, repeat these conversations and kind of be the go-to person for so many clients and vendors as a, you know, a leader,
right?
Have conversations not only with vendors and with clients, but how taxing that has been throughout this year to have to have those conversations over and over again. It's been very difficult.
And, you know, sorry, Marcia, go ahead.
Yeah. I hear a lot of times from other planners in the area down here that clients are telling people that they will have their guests keep their masks on. Everything will be on the up and up. And then the day comes and that does not happen. Do you see a lot of that in New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have clients who openly say we're not going to wear a mask once we're in the venue, which is a private venue. And so it's up, you know, to the venue to sort of dictate that. But yes, I mean, I think they get in the situation and they and I even have like a nurse who's coming up who's been like, you know, on the COVID ward since this started. And she's like, I don't want to wear a mask on my wedding day. Like, that's so important to me that in our photos and in the church, we're not wearing a mask. And so it's a repeated conversation we're having over and over.
And then there's several companies out there, and this has really actually just come up in the news recently, that there's a COVID surcharge. Are you seeing that? Is that something that you include in your packages to have that, you know, extra monies because you're having to do extra effort in order to keep people safe?
It's not something that I'm tacking on to my packages at this point, but I have seen that in a couple of venues tacked on for different things, particularly food and things like that. And to be honest, they are having to address the issues more, you know, having extra servers and just a lot more issues that they're dealing with directly. So I'm personally completely okay with that surcharge because it's the times we're living in.
Well, and as the leader of a company that specializes in these micro weddings, everybody obviously feels separately and differently about safety and about whether or not they should be open or closed. How are you making sure that your events are solidly placed, that you know that that restaurant that you booked or that location that you booked is going to still be open? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do last minute?
Well, and I'm having conversations with people directly and staying in the loop with as many vendors and venues as I, you know, possibly can. I'm staying on top of the news and just watching it almost on a, well, I won't say daily anymore. I've kind of been like, okay, I can relax a little bit because it's driving me crazy. But just trying to be educated myself on what the rules are. And then, you know, pre-event at every single venue we're going to, having those conversations. How are you interpreting the rules? Because they are interpreted differently if it's a restaurant or a venue or an outdoor space or whatever it is. And so I'm saying, how are you interpreting the rules? How are we going to enforce this? You know, what is our plan for being sure that it's safe? And so just it really comes down to individual conversations every single time, every event with the different people working the event.
Since you've already had COVID, mm-hmm. you know, and you said you're looking at it from a different perspective. Do you have any staff that are ultra sensitive? And then how are you, what are you doing to protect them?
My staff is not. So I've had two that have had it. And then I actually have a full-time planner in my office who was hired March 1st, whose job is to do intimate weddings. And so we're like, great, you were hired. And then you have to be furloughed for 3 months. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's her job, intimate weddings. Right. That is what she came on board specifically to do. Because we were, I mean, again, this is a business that we've been building for 4 years. So we're like, it's time to have our own person. And this is what we're going to do. She and I were actually traveling together to CaterSource the week before. We sat by each other on the planes.
I heard about this.
We're in the same hotel. We were just like doing all these things. She didn't get it. I got it. And then she... her roommates are nurses and they work at Ochsner in New Orleans, huge hospital. They both got it. She never got it. So at this point she's like, I don't think I'm getting it.
Well, we talked to actually several people that went to the CaterSource event and they all said the same thing. They're like, they came back and they were just like completely blown away by the fact that either they did or they didn't. And it was right at the beginning.
Well, we came back, we got an earlier flight because just all hell was breaking loose in New Orleans. Like, okay, where people are panicking, we're moving events and all these things. So we got an earlier flight and it was on a Friday and then went through the weekend. Monday, we have this big Zoom as an industry in New Orleans. Like, what are we doing? And Tuesday, I started a fever.
Wow.
That was quick.
It was really fast. But I'm like, wait, what is happening right now?
Well, with the vaccines coming, you know, and obviously we're all looking forward to that next year, to 2021, because honestly, 2020 can bite it as far as I am concerned. I am so over 2020. I actually started putting up Christmas lights, and I love the fact that I can see your Christmas tree in the background because you're in the same mindset I am. Like, come on, 2021.
I'm celebrating Christmas. I'm doing it big this year. Like, we're doing something every day. We've been having hot chocolate and just, it's right. 900 degrees here. I don't care.
Like, we're going to celebrate. So let's take COVID completely out of the picture, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as COVID. A bride is thinking about doing an elopement package or an intimate. What are the top things that she should be asking or should be aware of when thinking about doing this kind of an event?
The one thing I really encourage my clients to ask, and that we go in depth with each client when they hire us, is what's important to you, because that looks different to everyone. And so we want to dig into, okay, you know, is it important to you to stretch your budget? Is it important to you to have beautiful flowers? Is music important? Is food important? What is it that really, when you think about your dream day, what does that look like? What's important to you? And that's where we start. And so I usually encourage my clients to kind of get on the same page with each other first about what's important, and then start to look for people who can execute that. And I think in terms of like customization, that we wanted to make it easy by creating these packages,
right.
But we really also want to continue to give the level of service that we give to our full service clients and what we're known for, which is the, you know, Destination New Orleans weekend. So we still want to be able to give those things to each person. So, and to be able to kind of walk through that planning process with them.
And do you feel, because here in South Florida, and I know this is going to be a completely random connection, but when it comes to hair and makeup, a lot of times the bride says, oh, I will take care of your hair if you pay for your makeup. I feel like on these kind of trips, there may be some sort of the same negotiating that happens that says,
definitely,
I'll take care of your plane ticket, I'll take care of your room or something. You just worry about getting here.
Definitely. All the time. And that our system for intimate weddings is really pretty detailed, but we start out with these basic questions. Okay, what are the basic things? Like, what, you know, what's the venue? What do we need to dig into? What's the guest count? Is it a seated dinner versus a cocktail style reception? All of those different things.
Right.
And then taking it a step further, you know, midway saying, okay, we've done the basics. Now talk to us about the specifics, you know,
right.
What are your wedding colors? What in addition to, are you thinking of outside of the package? And really, to be honest, at this point, we make the majority of our money on upgrades, such as adding in hair and makeup.
Right. And you already have connections with people that do, obviously.
Right. It doesn't, it's so easy for us to do these things. So.
And do you do it by the kind of the bride? Like, you know, I know when I'm talking to a bride and I get a kind of a sense of her aesthetic, I know immediately who I'm going to send her to, because I know, you know, I'm not going to waste her time. I'm going to, you know, narrow it down. I'm assuming you do the same thing for your couples.
Definitely. And I mean, there is a little bit more of a custom offering that goes into the clients for full service weddings. Our intimate clients, you're basically agreeing to let me choose your clients. I mean, your vendors for you.
Right.
So I'm choosing them, and pretty much for the most part across the board. So you're choosing the venue as part of the package, but everybody after that I'm choosing. We give a lot of thought to what is important to that particular client and kind of what their style is. And that's how we match them with the right vendors who are already part of our intimate network.
That feels like a lot of trust to put into somebody that, you know, when you're talking about a great distance, I'm just saying, if I'm looking at it from a client perspective, you know, I'm sorry. There was just that moment of like, oh my God, I don't have a moment to be able to choose like anything besides.
I can choose everything for clients all day, but I cannot choose where we're going to eat dinner tonight. It is like the most common problem in my house. I'm like, I don't know. Just tell me. you know, that comes from years of practicing what I preach and my reputation, clients are comfortable allowing me to do that. We have nothing but great reviews for intimate weddings. So of course they're like, well, we want to be a part of what it is you're doing. We've been following you on Instagram or whatever it is. And so they know that we are working with the highest quality vendors in New Orleans. I mean, we are vetting these people. We have worked with these people for many years. So it's not like we're just going out and choosing who's the cheapest and pairing you with them. It doesn't work like that. Although it's a package and it's all included, it is also something that we give a lot of thought to on our end and how we pair people.
Yeah.
So I actually have a follow-up question to what you just said. If you're choosing the vendors for, even though they may have chosen the location, but they're choosing the vendors. If a client says, well, I want to get my hair done here, or I have this person that I would like to use for, you know, their music or something else. Do you allow them to use it if they are a preferred vendor, somebody that you've worked with before?
So our intimate contract requires that they hire every vendor through us. So because we're managing every vendor, all of them have to be hired through us, and we have to control that to a certain extent. What I can say is clients come in the beginning and they're like, it's really important to me to have like this photographer or this cake. Certainly we're going to be mindful of that and work that out with them. We had one client who's like, the band is the most important thing to me. So we left the band completely out of the package and we dealt with that separately. So she still has to hire the band through us, but we are giving her options for that.
It just seems like there's a lot of trust that is involved in your business, and it's amazing. I have to tell you, it made me feel a little better that you said at the very beginning that you've been in business for 15 years, because I really was thinking, I'm just entering my fifth year of business, and I'm like, man, she has got it going on. I'm like, she did this in 5 years, and so, it was such a massive weight release that thinking, oh no, she's been doing it for 15 years. Okay, great.
Yeah, 15 years. You know, when you find something that's such a good fit, I think it just comes naturally. You know, I'm not forcing it. It's just who I am. I just love this job. And I think that I do weddings specifically, and intimate weddings even specifically, because I am very relationship driven. So that's why I've never done corporates and I've never done other things, because to me, a wedding is like something you never forget. Like, it's so important. And that relationship with those clients goes on forever.
It really does. How do you handle distance? I mean, obviously we've gotten much better, obviously, about distant meetings now. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're talking about a destination event in a bride, first of all, how does a bride even find you? Let's start there. How does a bride even find you? And then what are the next steps?
You know, they're finding me all over the place right now. Like, it's really interesting. I'm like, I don't even know where some of them are coming from. We are getting a ton of Instagram brides, particularly this year, for whatever reason, both intimates and full service. We do a few like obligatory, marketing ads, things that we kind of feel like we have to do to stay in the loop, but ultimately word of mouth. Because we've been doing it a long time, we have a lot of people that refer to us specifically, and that's amazing, obviously. And then Instagram. So they're finding us at a variety of different places. We do send and have a link on our main website, Emily Sullivan Events. If you go there and you go to the services tab, we will send you to our intimate wedding website. That's a completely different website. And I think in terms of micro weddings versus full service weddings, that is an interesting topic. And one that I get a lot, actually, is about how do I market for intimate weddings? And to be honest, the advice that I would have given, you know, this time last year or 3 years ago is a little bit different than the advice I'd give now, because like everything else, it's already becoming something that's getting a bit saturated and something that we're talking a lot about.
Yeah.
So whereas I started and developed Intimate Weddings by Emily with a new website, a new social media presence, almost like its own division of my original company. I don't know if I would take that same approach now. I think I would probably just offer them under my existing company, honestly.
Well, and I did, you know, at the very beginning of this, I did call you the queen of micro weddings. So, you know, I'm going to make sure that sticks. Your new Instagram handle is going to be queen of micro weddings.
I like it. I'm going to start hashtagging it today.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's amazing. But, you know, but I mean, the thing is that I feel like when we keep saying micro, I love the idea, the term intimate weddings much better than micro. I feel like, oh, micro.
Does micro feel cold a little
bit? It does. It feels small.
I use it sometimes. I mean, because it is what it is. But we chose to say intimate weddings because that's what it is. It is an intimate experience between your guests and clients. And that, to me, signifies more of what weddings are about versus micro, which makes me feel very like detached.
Exactly. I feel clinical.
Exactly the word. I don't like that.
You know, and I feel like intimate, that actually makes a statement. I want to have an experience for a group of close friends and family that I truly love. I mean, I've said this a million times that I feel like all guest lists can be cut down by at least 50%. At minimum, because there are people that you're just not going to think about 10 years from now that are at your wedding. And you're like, why did we invite them?
I've had some clients who are like kind of feeling relieved that they can get out of their large guest list too. They're like, oh, okay, now I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings by taking off 100 people. So while it still may not be like an intimate or a micro wedding, it's still them looking at like their larger event and kind of scaling it down a little bit.
Well, okay. I'm gonna ask a random question because you know I love making random questions. Because we're talking about intimate affairs and we're talking about human beings in general, which are fairly difficult on some levels. But dietary restrictions, right? I mean, you're New Orleans. You're seafood based. You've got all these incredible. I mean, how do you handle dietary? Is it super easy that you just call the restaurant and say, okay, we've got a lactose intolerant and we have somebody that's allergic to bees? I don't know.
Yes, every chef in New Orleans is amazing. I have actually done, and it was a long time ago. It was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago. But I actually, with Pigeon Catering in New Orleans, did a full vegan Cajun wedding. I mean, we had vegan jambalaya, vegan gumbo. At the beginning, we're like, we don't even know if we're going to be able to pull this off. But we did. It like had huge chunks of vegetables in it. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah, I mean, it's no different than anywhere else where I feel sorry for people that can't eat the food here because it is pretty much the best ever. But yeah, it's pretty easily rectified by just dealing with, you know, talking to the chef directly most of the time.
Yeah.
So when you started this about 4 years ago, you mentioned, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what now in retrospect, looking back, and you didn't have the point, but you thought maybe this might be something exciting and fun. What do you think of it now? Now that we're going through COVID now, I mean, like, you must have been like, oh my gosh, thank goodness I had this all set up.
That was my first thought, is now I think that I am the queen of micro weddings. I've been doing it for 4 years. I mean, that my first thought was, yes, yay, we already know what we're doing. We don't have to come out with anything new, and we don't look like we're forcing it. And honestly, my biggest advice has been in everything that I'm talking about is don't force that. If micro weddings or intimate weddings are not your thing, don't feel like you have to make it your thing. Like, stay true to who you are. Intimate weddings are our thing. We like them. We have already proven that we like them. And so I think what's important is to make decisions that are going to affect you in the long run. And I think that honestly, that's the reason I've made it through 15 years in this industry, is by constantly analyzing what's happening and kind of anticipating where we're going, and being able to admit when things don't work and try new things. And so I really think that, yes, I felt very relieved when I already had, you know, we were like, yeah, we got packages ready to go. Let's do it. So for sure, that was easier.
Well,
what do you think about, like, where do you see things going maybe for the next year, as far as whether it's trends or thereafter with this part of the industry?
I think we're going to continue to see intimate weddings for a while, because people are going to continue to be uncomfortable until there's a vaccine in place. I mean, this is the conversation I'm having with a lot of my clients right now, my full service clients. And so I think this is going to be a trend that's going to continue. In the same way, what I was just saying is that I still think that anytime you're a business owner or a creative, you really have to, and I just did a podcast with Timeline Genius like 2 weeks ago. And this is what we talked about, not micro weddings, but we talked about like finding your niche and using your systems and all these different things. And for me, it's just so important that I don't pay a lot of attention to the trends. Honestly, I am always kind of trying to be ahead of the trend. So I don't jump on like, oh, okay, we're all doing this now, I'm going to go do this. I'm thinking like, okay, we're doing micro weddings now. What are we going to do next? What does that look like? How am I going to stay relevant? Yeah. And then the question you asked me in the very beginning, Keith, of, you know, why we started to do them in the first place. New Orleans is an insanely competitive market.
Right.
And we have about 1 million wedding planners, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm like, where are wedding planners coming from? You know, like, what does this look like? And I've always had a team. I've never worked alone. I've always had a team of people around me. And so it's been important for me to find ways to keep a certain amount of cash flow coming to pay for their salary. One, because I like them and I don't like working alone. So I want them to be around. And so just finding ways to continue to, you know, build business so that I'm able to afford that team and kind of mold it. And so destination weddings became our niche first, and then intimate weddings became our niche. And so I think that we'll continue to look for opportunities to do things that other people aren't doing, honestly.
Right. Well, and you do a lot of national speaking. Obviously, I think that you're probably a leader and a mentor to a lot of people, because obviously anybody that's in a leadership role, that tends to happen. If somebody's just getting into this business, and obviously, you know, I see this all the time, just because you planned your sister's wedding doesn't mean that you're going to be great at what you did. Right? Because you probably had a great group of people around you that helped you plan your sister's wedding, like an incredible director of catering, catering manager, incredible like event professionals that didn't want anything to fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And they took on that role. If somebody says, I like what I do, I like hospitality, I like what I do, I want to do what you do, what are some very beginning, I mean, before you even start your business, what are some very beginning steps that somebody can take to say, okay, this is going to help me, first of all, decide if I actually really love what I do, and second of all, give me a basis of moving forward?
I mean, I think the most important question you need to ask if you're planning to get in any sort of event-related business is, how committed are you?
Right.
Because event business requires an insane level of commitment. We are committing years in advance. We are committing to time away from our family, from the weekends, for long periods of time. I mean, I miss lots of things because I work on the weekends. And so I feel like a lot of people kind of jump in. And when I say, everybody says, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a wedding planner. And they're like, oh, that must be so fun. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But it's also an insane amount of work. And so I think you first of all, have to be committed. And second of all, you have to have a work ethic to be successful in weddings that is like in no other industry, particularly if you are self-employed, because there is no one to make you do the work. So you really have to have a great work ethic and be accountable to yourself. And I think my number one tip for people getting into this industry, and really any creative industry, is to be authentic. You know, be who you are, do the things that you're good at, and don't force things that you're not.
Well, and be true to yourself. Don't try to be anybody else. You know,
I mean,
if you try to put on a facade to be, you know, I've always called myself a practical planner. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that strive for the luxury brand. I think that will come naturally based on your bride. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever your term luxury is. Sometimes it's soft, fluffy pillows. Yeah, sometimes it's an over the top centerpiece. But you know, luxury means something. But being a practical planner, understanding logistics, how mm-hmm. things work, how long things take to happen, I think that's more important than anything.
Absolutely. I call myself an in the trenches planner. Like, I'm in the trenches with
people. Right. In the trenches planner. And I tell people all the time that if you're interested in getting into this line of work, volunteer for a not-for-profit when they do their gala. Mm-hmm. You know, be next to that event planner that is having to pull together, first of all, not only having to do things on a budget, but also mm-hmm. to deal with a team of volunteers. Because mm-hmm. if you can get volunteers to do everything you need them to do, you're not going to have any problems finding somebody that you can pay to do it.
Right.
Right.
That's true. That is really great advice, actually.
But what about what? what is the main difference between intimate and full service weddings then? Because, you know, obviously intimate weddings are about an experience, but there's a lot of the same work that goes into them.
Are very based on the same things. And honestly, when we were trying to expand and bring in more revenue and, you know, kind of set ourselves apart, that was the question. It's like, how can we bring in more revenue and make more profit doing what we're good at? You know, I'm not going to arrange flowers. I'm not going to bake cake. Like, I'm not ever going to do things like that. So we have to take what we know we're already good at and rework it into something that's new and make money at it. And so that's exactly what we did. So the experience is similar. A few major differences is full service clients work directly with me. So I walk them through the planning process. I kind of handhold them and I am their person. Intimate clients, while I have a hand in it and I know what's going on and I give advice, I created the packages. I'm not the planner, so you don't work with me directly, but you are still getting the same level of service. Also, full service planners are planning is more of a, okay, you know, this is your photography style. These are the ones that I think will work great for you. And let's choose one based on that. And whereas I mentioned before, intimate packages, we for the majority choose the vendors that we work with.
Amazing. Amazing. And then for New Orleans, what is the New Orleans is okay. We all know French Quarter, obviously being is what is your favorite thing about New Orleans?
Oh my goodness. There, when I say this, like I, when I moved there 16 years ago and I said, you either love it and you instantly get it or you don't understand, like you don't click with it. And that was a place where just instantly I felt like I am so loved here. Like the city just gives you something, if that makes sense. You just feel like you're in a different country almost when you're in the quarter. And it's a small town. Like, even though it's a city, it's very connected. It's very much a small town. The people are amazing. The locals, and obviously the food, I mean, that's, let's be real.
Food is crazy, but I mean, but anyway, I mean, as a South Floridian that is used to like hurricanes and stuff, anybody that chooses to live in something that's below sea level boggles my mind. But
you're like, hope I don't have to swim out of here.
Well, MRC, did you have a question?
Yes. What are some of the things that you're liking now with regards to like serving when you're doing like serving? Obviously, you know, buffets are a little bit tough right now, but what are the things that you're like, what are the things that you gravitate towards that you like?
So New Orleans style of reception is very cocktail style. So it's stations and a lot of movement and cocktails. It's not a ton of seated dinners. We do more dinners for intimate weddings because it's easier to do that. And so we do a good bit of both as a general rule. But I think right now what I'm really liking is anything that's individually portioned. So like late night snacks and hors d'oeuvres that are individually portions. I think this is really giving chefs an opportunity to get creative on like what they're serving in and what that looks like and how, you know, we can give people their own. I've even had like mini charcuterie as an appetizer that was individually portioned. And I thought that was so fun because charcuterie is one of my favorite things. Very difficult to serve during COVID though, you know?
Right.
So I'm definitely into that right now. And we are still doing some events that have stations because really that's what New Orleans is known for, like having a variety of food and being able to customize that. But the way it looks differently now is having each station have its own attendant. So no one's serving themselves, having like guards put up, obviously, where no one comes near the food, things like that. So there are ways to still do it safely, depending on what it is you're actually serving.
Wow. And are people going away with favors or like a, you know, some kind of like a midnight kind of a thing at the end of an event?
Yes, I do late night snacks almost every single wedding. It's one of my favorite things. Like, who doesn't love a good taco at the end of the night?
At 2 a.m.
Yes.
1 or 2 a.m. after several tequilas, just saying.
Exactly. We were trying to figure out recently with a couple of guys what their like late night snack's going to be. And I'm like, what do you eat when you go out? Like, you've been out partying. What do you go home and eat? Like, that's what we want to serve. And we ended up with like a big bowl of Chinese noodles, like served in takeout, which was so good. And breakfast tacos, because who doesn't like any kind of taco?
So did you notice a difference between same-sex intimate events and you know, I don't want to say regular, but straight couple? Heterosexual person. Like, I mean, do you see like, in other words, do you see like a different focus? Like, do you see same-sex couples that have a different, like, you know, need or want for their guest experiences versus a heterosexual couple?
I really don't see a huge difference, honestly. My clients, my general approach, I think people come to me because they want this sort of like relaxed approach to planning and they want to enjoy the process. And so I tend to attract clients that kind of feel that way on both sides. Right. What I will say is that there are times when we work with same-sex couples where we really get the feeling of how appreciative they are to be getting married. And I think that makes the perfect setting for an intimate wedding, because you're saying 10 years ago, I couldn't have done this, but now I am. And so let's, you know, this is so important to our families. And so I think it's perfect for intimate weddings.
And I think that's absolutely true. I know that when I got married 5 years ago, it meant the world to me because, you know, obviously 10 years ago, I couldn't, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, having this incredible experience with my friends and family, and we did an intimate event. We actually did a glass bottom boat down in the Keys. Because we do, obviously, if you're a destination, and most of our friends and family were from actually Texas, mm-hmm. You know, Dallas and that area. When you come to Florida, you want to do this. Do you ever get tired of doing the tourist idea of a wedding? Like second life?
I don't do the tourist idea of a wedding.
But you know, like because you said earlier, you never get tired of a second line.
Get tired of a second line. It's super fun. You know, I always say that there's a way that things can be done tacky, or a way things can be done not tacky, yes. Particularly when it comes to like Mardi Gras themed things. That would be my biggest pet peeve. Like, I don't like themed masks and things like that. That is very noisy. But there is also a way to do it where it's not. And so right. I think what we strive to do is give people a different experience every time. You know, like, I think that's the challenge of planning weddings, is me saying, I'm not going to give you the same experience I'm giving someone else. What can I do that I haven't done before? And I mean, I have done it all. I have done renting floats and having like a little two float Mardi Gras parade where they threw beads off down Canal Street. That was interesting because the insurance cost a small fortune, but very, very fun. So there are ways that we can do things that are unexpected and not repeat them and kind of, you know, make it unique to that person and not do the same thing over and over again.
Well, because that would be difficult, obviously, because New Orleans, you know, how do you make the old new again?
Correct. Same thing. Yeah. And I think that's part of the challenge. You know, I loved what you said earlier about not seeing yourself as a luxury planner. I feel very similarly. My goal has never been to be a luxury planner. I don't think my success comes from being a luxury planner. I think my success comes from giving people an experience they will never forget on their wedding day, regardless of their budget.
Well, and I say this all the time to my bride. Not try to do something that nobody else has ever done before, because mm-hmm. there are so many opportunities for failure at that point. Just do things that have been done before, but better.
Yes.
In new and interesting ways, because then, of course, you're building on top of success. Mm-hmm. And then add, you know, we're building a cake. So I always talk about the structure of an event is building the cake. And then favors, interesting music, all that is icing. Mm-hmm. We're going to add the icing and the decor, but
really what you said in terms of logistics is if people understand what's happening and it's not awkward, that's when they really have a great time. Your wedding can have $100,000 worth of flowers and be beautiful, but if they're standing there with no cocktail, not understanding what's happening, that's what they remember. And so I think it really is about guest experience from start to finish.
100%. And I'm assuming that, we're getting close to our hour, so I'll end with this question. When does the experience for your clients start?
I'm sorry, phrase that a different way. So, okay.
In other words, you know, I'll give you an example. So for my brides, I always state that, you know, their experience for the wedding starts when they start working with me, because I want to make sure that there's joy in planning all the way through it. Mm-hmm. You know, can you obviously say the same thing?
Absolutely. Definitely. I mean, so I talk to each client, whether they're intimate clients or full service clients. I do the onboarding and I talk to each client in person to see if they're a good fit for us. And I think that's so important to be working with people that are the right fit for you and not forcing, you know, situations 100%. Or, you know, putting yourself in positions where you can't be successful by having the wrong client. Immediately, we're going to take you once you've signed on that dotted line, and we're just going to start making it so easy for you. And we're going to become your sounding board, but we're also going to guide you and really see you through that entire process. And from a destination perspective, what's so important is having the right systems in place, because that's what makes my clients feel comfortable, that I have systems, that I have ways to reach them, that they understand what's happening next. When they're confused and they're not sure what's happening, that's when things start to get uncomfortable. And so really just setting it up from the very, very beginning so that they understand the process. And that's the reason I talk to everybody personally up front.
Amazing. And Emily Sullivan, the queen of micro weddings. It was awesome to have you on the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, right before the show started, a pipe busted in her store. And so the fact that she was on and composed herself like
I'm trying to pick up my phone right now to see what's happening.
I just say you are grace under pressure all the time. So thank you so much for being part of Behind the Veil. Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember, my Marcy. Marcy, you know I love you, and I'm excited to have you back next week. And talking about next week, we have Dixie that is going to be talking about how to set expectations with your vendors. Super important, especially now more than ever, is what those expectations are. And obviously how to keep people safe. For now, everybody, thank you so much for being part of Behind the Veil, and we will see you next Tuesday at 2:00. Everybody say goodbye. Bye.
And bye.
I have to figure out how to hit the end button. Bye.